to see you back in the house of the Lord to worship with us. And those who have traveled, very welcome back to you. We thank the Lord for the safety that the Lord has granted to you. So, my dear friends, this is the second last Sunday of the year 2017. And today is Christmas Eve. And so I think it is appropriate that on behalf of the session, I greet you a very, very blessed Christmas. And we hope that you will come back also tomorrow to worship together once again with us and on Christmas Day. And let's pray that it may be a day of great blessing to God's people. And let's pray that there might be some unbelievers who will come and join us and be able to hear the gospel and be saved. Now this morning, the subject is the crook at Christmas, the villain, the crook at Christmas. Now, in the Christmas account, the absolutely important person is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was sent by the one true living God to this earth. He took on human flesh. He was born of the Virgin Mary. And then he lived some 30-odd years on this earth, and then he went to the cross of Calvary to die for sinful men. Then he came in the fullness of time. He lived among men, and then as we said, at the end of some 30-odd years, he went to the cross and shed his precious blood to save us from our sins. Now, then the other important characters in the Christmas account would be, of course, the Virgin Mary, and then his earthly father, the earthly father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Joseph. And then there were the angels. Remember, there was that angel who gave this announcement to Mary that she was going to bear the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that she was going to bear the child of the Holy Ghost. And then there was this angelic host that sang in the heavenlies, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And then remember, there were the shepherds who were keeping watch over their flocks by night, to whom the angel made this announcement that Jesus was born in the city of Bethlehem, the city of David. Then, of course, there were the magi, the wise men who came from the east, who had seen the star of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had traveled that long distance, perhaps 1,000 or 1,500 kilometers or so, if they indeed had come from the land of Persia, to the city of Bethlehem. For what purpose? To worship the newborn king. Now these were persons on the side of light, in which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was. And indeed, Jesus is the light, and he is the meaning of Christmas. Now then, we have the side of darkness. Now there was one character, a very wicked person on the side of darkness. He was none other than Herod the Great, King Herod, who was the king of Judea, the region in which the Jews lived, and the capital of which was the city of Jerusalem. Now he was the villain, the crook, you might say, the enemy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we shall see. Now, who was Herod? Now, Herod was an Edomite. In other words, he was a descendant of Esau, the twin brother of Jacob. And he actually was appointed king of Judea by the Romans in the year 40 BC. So he was not a Roman, all right? He was an Edomite. And he became king, appointed to be king by the Romans in the year AD 40 BC. Now, his ancestor adopted the Jewish religion. So you might say that he was a Jew by religion. And he had great leadership skills. But this man was actually very, very much disliked by the Jews. Even though he was one who built, he was the one who reconstructed the Temple of Jerusalem, and he was the one who restored the Temple of Jerusalem. So during the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, the temple that was in existence at that time was the one that was built by Herod. Yes, he reconstructed it, and he restored that temple. And in spite of the fact that he represented the Jews very often before the before the emperor of Rome, the Jews still hated him. They didn't like him. Why? Because actually he did all these things for his own political gains. He wanted the support of the Jews. That's why he did what he did. And then the other thing about this man that caused the Jews not to like him was the fact that he was actually very cruel and murderous. He killed his brother-in-law, killed several of his wives, and even had a few of his sons executed. And he imposed a heavy taxes on the people, and he widely supported the worship of the emperor of Rome. Remember, he was supposed to be a Jew by religion, but he gave his support to the worship of the emperor of Rome, and he also supported the building of pagan temples in foreign cities. And then he very, very jealously guarded his throne. Yes. And if anybody posed as a threat to his throne, he will not hesitate to exterminate that person. He will destroy that person. He will kill that person. And that is why he committed that massacre in destroying all the baby boys who were 2 years and under. As of the time, the Magi made the inquiry in the city of Jerusalem, where is he that is born king of the Jews? So you see how cruel he was. So you look at verse 16. It is recorded here in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So he felt mocked by the wise men, deceived by the wise men in his mind. Now, because the wise men was sent by him, they came to the city of Jerusalem to inquire where the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Herod was very disturbed, very troubled. He called for the chief priests and the scribes, who told him from scriptures that Jesus would be born in the city of Bethlehem. So he sent this wise man to the city of Bethlehem to look for Jesus. And his instruction to them was, when you have found him, bring back word to me in regards to where he was located. Of course, his whole purpose was to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Now, he was he was very protective of his throne, as we said, and he destroyed all the children or the baby boys who were 2 years and under. Now, he was, of course, worried that when one of the babies grew up to become the king of the Jews, that baby or that person would be wanting his throne. So he took the step to exterminate him. Now, this morning, I'd like us to see three things about this man. About this man Herod. Number one, the troubled heart of Herod. Number two, the troubles he brought to other people by his troubled heart. Number three, the death of Herod. Now, number one, the troubled heart of Herod. Now, verse one. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. Verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. You see, in God's perfect timing, in accordance to prophecy, Christ was born in the city of Bethlehem of Judea. Now, at the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there were these wise men, as we said, who traveled a long distance from the east. They followed the star and they came to the city of Jerusalem and subsequently went to the city of Bethlehem. They sought him for the purpose of wanting to worship him. Now, when Herod heard these things, the word of God here says he was troubled. Now, the word trouble, let us understand, it's more than just feeling puzzled. But more than that, he was actually very fearful, upset, frightened. That's what it means, upset, frightened. Now, what troubled him? Of course, it was the birth of this newborn king, the king of the Jews. He felt that his throne was being threatened. He was very, very fearful that he would lose the control of his throne. You see, this man had actually worked very, very hard. And he had actually manipulated himself into the favor of the Romans to be promoted into this position of being the king of Judea. And so now he will guard it jealously. If anybody was posed a threat to him, he will exterminate that person. Yes. Now, I dare say that this fear of losing control of his earthly throne was reflective of another fear. And that was the fear of losing control of the throne that was in his heart. Like any unrepentant sinner, he himself must sit on the throne, not anyone else. Now, if he had recognized that this God of the one true living God is the sovereign God, then God must necessarily be occupying the throne in his heart. No, nobody must be occupying his heart, not even God. Only Herod himself must be occupying Herod's heart and be sitting on the throne of his heart. And that is why this man was so fearful, so very, very protective of his throne. Now, my question to all of us here this morning is, who is in control of our heart? Who is in control of your heart? Who is in control of my heart? Is it you or is it the Lord? Now look at the Magi. They traveled that long distance from the east to come to worship the newborn king. Verse 2 says, they made this inquiry, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." And you go down to verse 10. "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and myrrh, gold and frankincense and myrrh." To the Magi, this baby was the king. They came and sought him, and he was their king. They would bow down and they would worship him. And that precisely was what they did. They came, they saw baby Jesus, they knelt down, bowed down, and they worshiped him. And they expressed their worship by presenting the Lord Jesus Christ with very, very costly gifts, gold, myrrh, and frankincense. My dear friends, let us be like the Magi. Let us be willing to kneel ourselves and acknowledge this king as our king. And friends, how may we express that he is our king? How may we really show that he's our king? I tell you, my dear friends, the best way to show that he is our king, is to present him our best gift. Now, what is the best gift that we should be presenting to the Lord? What do you think, my dear friends? Gold, myrrh, frankincense? My dear friends, our heart. Yes, this is the best gift that we must be presenting to the Lord, if indeed he is our king. Yes, he must be sitting on the throne of our heart. We must love him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Now, we would think that if a person gets older, he will become wiser. He will realize that he doesn't have many more years to live. And in the case of Herod, you know how old he was? He possibly was around 70 years old already at that time. And then after this event that took place at the first Christmas, he actually didn't live long after that, because we read earlier on that he actually died when Joseph had brought his family, the baby Jesus and Mary, to Egypt. They heard this announcement from the angel that Herod had died. So he didn't live long after this incident that took place at Christmas. Now, if he realized that he didn't have long to live, then he shouldn't be holding on to his throne. He would have realized that he would be leaving this throne behind. Even though he wanted to cling hard to it, he would have to leave it behind. Now, he should be thinking of life after death. He should be asking if God was indeed in control of his life. And he should have the wisdom of yielding his life to the Lord. But that was not the case with Herod. When he grew older, he didn't become wiser. Not at all. And that surely is the case with many powerful and rich people today. It seems the older they become, the wealthier they want to become, the more powerful they want to become. And that's true. A survey was done on a group of people with a wide range of ages. And it was found that the children and the young people were more likely to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the age increased, when people got older, fewer and fewer people wanted or had the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now then, what about those who were 70 years and above? How many actually were believers and how many wanted to become believers 70 years and above in that survey? Zero, not a single one. So my dear friends, if you have not yielded yourself to the Lord and you have not acknowledged Him to be your King yet, don't say, wait until I'm older, then I will do it. The truth of the matter is, the older you become, the harder it is for you to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Proven. Yes, it is true. Now, we have been ministering to the old folks in the homes that we have been visiting, two homes, and occasionally we would be able to talk to those who are more lucid than others. And this last trip, I was talking to this lady who was, I think, 80 plus already, at least, maybe 85, 86. She was pretty lucid, and we got talking, and she was quite new at the center. She had just been there for 2 weeks or so. So I tried to give her the gospel. I quoted from scriptures. And when I quoted from scripture, you know what she said to me? As you say so. I said, no, 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 it wasn't I who said so. I said, it is God who says so. And as I go on, I keep on quoting. He said, as you say so, as you say so. I tried to correct her. No, she was very insistent. It was I who say so. You know how stubborn she was? I dare say that she was one who would sit tightly on her own throne and she would not give that place to anyone else. So, my dear friends, don't think that when you get older, you would want to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The truth of the matter is also that if you have heard the gospel and if you reject the gospel, it is harder for you to believe the next time. And there might come a time when your heart is so hardened that God will have no choice but to pass you by. And when that happens, my dear friends, even if you want to come to believe, you will not be able to believe. And that is true, my dear friends, because God will have given you up. So, listen carefully. The Word of God says, behold, today is the day of salvation, not any other day. Don't say to me, Elder Cole, as you say so. No, not me. The Word of God. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Now, when Jesus was born, the angelic host sang, glory to God in the highest and peace, and highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, they sang about the goodwill of God, and they sang about the peace of God. Now, why did they sing about peace? Now they sang about peace because peace is the thing that we human beings need most of all. Don't you think so? My dear friends, I dare believe that we need peace most of all as we live our lives on this earth. Yes, Herod was powerful. Herod was smart. Herod was very intelligent. He was very wealthy. But there was one thing that he didn't have, and that was peace. His heart was very troubled, always jealously guarding his throne. What kind of peace did he have? No peace at all. Now, my dear friends, if we want to have peace in our heart, Jesus must rule in our heart, not we ourselves. Now, he is able to give peace. You know why he's able to give peace? Because he's the Prince of Peace. Who says so? Don't say, as you say so. No. The Word of God says so. He is the Prince of Peace. First, he came to make peace between God and man. And that's the message of Christmas, right? Jesus came to make peace between God and man. You see, we men are born sinners, and we are naturally enemies of the one true living God. We oppose Him, we rebel against Him, we disobey Him. And we are in actual fact enemies of the one true living God. And if we continue to be enemies of God, separated from Him, when we pass away from this earth, we continue to be separated from Him. We head for eternal hell, damnation. But that's not what the Lord wants for us. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he sent his only begotten Son. He loved us. He sent his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to this earth 2,000 years ago at Christmas time to be born of the Virgin Mary, so that some 30-odd years later, he could die, go to the cross of Calvary to die for us. And when he died for us, my dear friends, the purpose of his death is to make peace between God and man. Yes, if we would trust him as Lord and Savior, we would have made that peace between us and the one true living God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Believe in him, we will be justified, and then we will have this peace between us and the one true living God. Matthew Henry, that great commentator, made this point. He said, when Christ was about to leave the world, he made his will. His soul he committed to his Father. Remember on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Right? And then his body he bequeathed to Joseph of Arimathea, because Jesus was buried in the tomb of Joseph Arimathea. And his clothes fell to the Roman soldiers who cast lot for his clothes. Remember, before he was crucified. Then his mother he left to the care of one of his disciples, John. And what should he leave to his poor disciples that had left all for him? What do you think he left for his disciples? And Matthew Henry said it very, very correctly. His peace. The word of God says, the Lord Jesus Christ says in John 14:27, the Lord says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord Jesus Christ left his peace with his disciples. And that is the same peace that he has left with us. And this peace we are talking about is not just the peace that Jesus came to make between us and the one true living God. We must have that peace. Now, this peace that is being spoken of here is this thing called tranquility. And we need it. My dear friends, we need this peace, the peace in our heart. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples one day were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and they came face to face with a storm in the Sea of Galilee. The disciples panicked. But what was the Lord Jesus Christ doing? He was fast asleep in the stern of the boat, at the back of the boat. He was in great peace. Yes, it was a picture of peace. There was the big storm, and there he was sleeping. And that is the kind of peace that we are talking about. The peace that passes all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. And this is the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ gives for us when he left this earth. My dear friends, and we may have it, friends, if our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is in control of our hearts. I told you many times before about this man, Mr. Law. I want to talk about him today again, because I want to show you that that even dying believers who are dying are able to have that peace. Mr. Law was stricken with cancer, and it was because of his cancer he came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. And so he was ever thankful that he was stricken with cancer. So in his dying days, he was in hospital, and my wife and I decided to visit him. But we were very heavy-hearted, because we did not know what we ought to be talking to him, how to comfort this man. So we went, and then when we arrived at the hospital, and we saw this man, this brother, Mr. Law, in his bed. And when he saw us, his wife was in the ward also, when he saw us, he sat up straight away. And then, but it was hard for him to talk, because he was his breathing was helped by this cover of this oxygen mask. And we got talking, and then we prayed, and then before we left, we said this to him. I remember saying this to him very clearly. The Lord be with you. I said this, the Lord be with you. And you know what he did? He raised his two arms. He said, the Lord be with all of you, he said. And he was so cheerful. He was a picture of peace, ready to go home. Because as far as he was concerned, he knew God's word, which would have said this to him. to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's why he was so filled with peace in his heart. So my question for all of us here is the Lord Jesus the King of your life? Think of all the decisions you have made. Now, if he were your king, you would have made all the decisions, or at least as many decisions as you could have done, made all these decisions with pleasing the God, the Lord in view. You would have asked yourself many times, is this pleasing to the Lord? Is this right? Is this glorifying to the Lord? Now, today, do we spend time or money, energy, and do we use our talents, choose our career, choose our spouse to please whom? To please ourselves or to please the one true living God? Now, my dear friends, it is very, very certain that if our Lord Jesus Christ is not the King in all these areas of our life, we are not going to enjoy that perfect peace that the Lord Jesus Christ has left behind for us. Our hearts will be very, very easily troubled if he is not in control of our hearts, if he is not the king of our hearts. Now, why was Herod so troubled? Why was he so fearful? Now, he was very fearful because actually he didn't know God. Yes, it is true, he appeared to be quite religious. He appeared to have adopted the Jewish religion, and he even constructed or reconstructed the Temple of Jerusalem and restored the city, Temple of Jerusalem. And it was not easy to do that, because in the days of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the temple was still being renovated in those days. So it was a huge, huge project. But he did it, yes, for the Jews. But friends, in truth, this man was not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, not a true believer in the one true living God. As we said, his restoration and reconstruction of the Temple of Jerusalem was for one purpose, and that was he wanted to gain the support of the Jews. He was very, very political. Now, because he didn't know God, he didn't believe in the sovereignty of God. Now, if he had believed in the one true living God and had believed in the sovereignty of God, then he would have believed in this truth, that promotion comes neither from the east nor from the west, not from the south, but from the one true living God. It is God who is the judge. He putteth down one and he setteth up another. So, if he had trusted in the sovereignty of God, he would have known that if God had placed him in a certain position, nobody was going to take that position away from him, except that God permits it. He would have realized that. Friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, let us understand that our lives are in the hands of the one true living God, that God is sovereign. Let us not be fearful that people could be threatening our position. If the Lord has promoted us into a certain position, or if he has blessed us with prosperity in our business and we are walking close to the Lord, let us never, never be fearful, because God has given us that promotion, has given us that prosperity in business. Nobody can take any of this away from us if God does not permit it. Yes, we will always remember that promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but from the one true living God. Now, Herod was very fearful that the newborn babe might want his position, because he was one who was eyeing that position, the kingly position, and he was one who was very, very jealously guarding his position. You can be sure that he had a very guilty conscience. That is why he was so troubled. He was cruel. Yes, he must have destroyed lots of people who were proposed as rivals to him for that throne. And so he had that guilty conscience. So even though people were not interested in his throne, he thought that they were, and he would not hesitate to destroy them. As the word of the word God says in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee where no man pursueth. It's true. So even if there was nobody who was interested in his throne, surely the Lord Jesus Christ was not interested in his throne. He would think that people are interested in his throne, and he would destroy them. If we are fearful and are suspicious of others in the office and think that they are eyeing our position and that they want to replace us, my dear friends, please check on ourselves. Ask ourselves, have we been right with the Lord? Have we been very political? Have we been murderous? I'm not saying that we really have the intention of taking up the knife to kill anybody. No, murderous in the sense that we will not hesitate to destroy the careers of other people so that we can bring ourselves up in the corporate ladder. Murderous in that sense. My dear friends, if we have been very, very guilty of being that way, my dear friends, let us this Christmas ask the Lord to search our hearts and cleanse us, and very, very quickly repent of that sin, and then allow the Lord Jesus Christ to have absolute control over our hearts. Now, let us see that because Herod was troubled, he brought troubles to others. All right, that's my second point. Because he was troubled, he brought troubles to others. Look at verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. No man is an island. Romans 14 verse 7 says, I read for you, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. No man is an island. When a person is in trouble, yes, or his heart is troubled, he troubles other people, particularly if he's in a position of authority. Now here was a king. He was in a position of great authority. And when his heart was troubled, what kind of troubles did he cause other people to have? Great, great troubles. He caused great pains to the many Jewish families that had little boys 2 years and under who were destroyed by him, who were killed by him. So he caused great grief to lots of people. Now, how often we see the boss setting the tone in the office? If he's happy, the boss is happy, the atmosphere in the office would generally be quite happy and quite relaxed. But if the boss is in a foul mood, people will say, oh, the old man is cranky today. They don't like it. They don't like that kind of atmosphere. The office is tense. The office is very unpleasant to work in. Now, if you are a boss in a company, or you are a manager, or you are a supervisor, recognize that you are in a position of authority. If you are troubled, you're going to cause other people to be troubled. Yes? If you are worried, if you are fearful, and you're ill-tempered, you create a very, very unhappy atmosphere for people to work in. People look up to you. And if you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a great testimony to bear for the Lord Jesus Christ. What kind of testimony do we bear for him? Surely a very poor one if we always go about in a very foul mood and then very ill-tempered. Behind your back, your subordinates are going to whisper and they are going to say this of you. This boss is supposed to be a Christian, yes, but he's so troubled and his God is not able to help him. And he's so ill-tempered, and his boss and his God is not able to change him. If this is the kind of God that he has, I'm not interested in having that same kind of God. That's what they will say among themselves. Now, it is vital as a believing boss, you should show great confidence in the one true living God, in the God that you believe in. It is vital you show that you believe this God of yours is able, faithful, powerful, sovereign, and that your life is in his hand, and you are not fearful because you know that this God is with you. Now that is the kind of testimony you must be bearing for the Lord Jesus Christ, and not go around with a troubled heart that will trouble other people. Now likewise, if you are the head of the home, your conduct is going to set the spiritual tone in the home. Realize that. If you are troubled, your family is going to be troubled. You're going to feel very troubled. If you are joyous, you're going to create a very joyous atmosphere in the home. Now, if you are very worried, yes, ill-tempered, my dear friends, the home that you are head of is not going to be a very, very pleasant home to be in. How important it is that you set the spiritual tone in the home, and by making this right resolution along with your family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My dear friends, take that position and be a good example for your the members of your family to follow. Yes, set up family worship. Teach your children faith. Now, the best way to teach children faith and to teach spiritual things is to teach by example. Now, if you have read Dr. Toh's book, Footprints on the Sands of Time, you will remember one incident his parents experienced. His parents, in that through that experience, actually set a very good example of faith for the children to follow. It was during the time of the Depression. You see, Dr. Toh and family had emigrated to Malaysia. In those days, it was not Malaysia, it was Malaya, to the state of Johor. And then the father had bought a rubber plantation, and the rubber plantation was doing good and serving him well, because rubber was fetched good value in those days. And then came the Depression, the result of which was the price of rubber plummeted. And what happened was the amount of rubber that was tapped was not able even to pay the salary of the worker. So he had to shut down his rubber plantation. But how was he going to provide for his whole family? That was when they exercised faith. Father and mother exercised faith. They prayed. You see, Dr. Toh's father was practicing medicine when he was in China. But when he went to Malaya in those days, which was under British rule, he could not practice medicine because he was educated in Chinese and the language that was made use of was English in Malaya. So he could not practice medicine in Malaya. But he prayed. And then it was decided that he should approach the chief medical officer representing the British to apply for a license to practice. So the day came when he spoke to him, to this chief medical officer, but his application was rejected, even though he was very good. But they were not discouraged. They prayed. And then there was another man who came not long after that. He was the principal chief medical officer. One person was higher ranked than the first officer that interviewed Dr. Toh's father. And this man was very impressed by the credentials of Dr. Toh's father. Yes, educated in Chinese. He said, can you speak English? Can you write Chinese? No. But he knew that he was well-educated. He was very capable. Then he said, but can you write a prescription in English? He said, no, I can't. Yes, but I can write a prescription in Latin. And that's what he did. He wrote a prescription in perfect Latin. The principal chief medical officer was so impressed that not long after that, Dr. Toh's father was given the license to practice medicine in Johor. Yes. And that allowed the family to be well provided for during the time of the Depression. So it was a lesson of faith, and the parents of Dr. Toh exercised faith and set a very good example for the children. My dear friends, that is the kind of spiritual tone heads of homes to be setting to members of the home. Remember, if you have a troubled heart, you are going to cause your family members to be very troubled. But if you set a tone of faith, a tone of spirituality, you're going to encourage your children to be children of faith, and you're going to encourage them to be spiritual. Then children can cause troubles to others in the home. If you are troubled, yes, if you are involved in drugs, if you are involved in alcohol, in gangsterism, or all forms or other forms of criminal activities, my dear friends, you are going to trouble people in the home. Yes, I remember this young man some years ago. He had finished school, and he was serving his national service. He fell in love with this girl, but somehow was jilted by this girl. He was so brokenhearted. By the way, he was a believer. He was so brokenhearted that he drank himself silly. He never drank before. He drank himself silly. And then he went missing. He didn't report for duty. his parents were very, very troubled, very, very worried for this son of theirs. And so they reported this matter to the police. You know where they found him? They found him drunk in a cemetery. And thankfully, he was discovered, and then he was restored to the Lord. And today, he's walking close to the Lord. My point is this, no man is an island. Now, if you're a head of home, you're troubled, you're going to trouble your family members. If you're a member, if you're a child in the home, if you're troubled, you're going to trouble your family members, you're going to trouble your parents. No man is an island. So this Christmas, let us make this very important decision. Lord, rule over me. Let me cast all my burdens upon you so that I will not have a troubled heart to cause other people to be troubled. But Lord, help me so that I may be a blessing to others. Finally, let's consider the death of Herod. Verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And verse 19, go on to verse 19. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. They are dead. Herod had died. Now, where did this man go after his death? Surely, my dear friends, his action of committing the massacre of the children was very satanic. Now, from his standpoint, of course, he was talking about preserving his throne. That was what he thought of, nothing else. But friends, from the spiritual realm, Satan was actually trying to destroy the baby Jesus to prevent him to go to the cross. And the instrument for him to make use of was Herod. Now, as Judas was possessed by Satan to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, so Herod was possessed by the evil one to try to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if he died unrepentant, which was most likely the case, now where would this man go, my dear friends? Of course, he would head for eternal hell. He would have died with a very troubled heart. He missed entirely the blessing of Christmas. How different the case of the Magi, the wise men. Yes, they traveled that long distance, and then they came to the city of Bethlehem, saw baby Jesus. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. They worshiped him when they saw him. They worshiped him when they saw him. Now, these were wonderful folks, the Magi. Where do you think the Magi would have gone after they passed away from this earth? Surely it will be heaven. Now, I have a very strange thought. I think that one day when I get to heaven, I want to see them. Would you not like to meet them? Surely we'll want to meet them, the Magi that traveled that long distance from the east to look for the newborn king. Now, if you are still an unbeliever and your heart right now might not be troubled because this is a very festive mood, your heart might not be troubled. But I hope that by speaking to you today, if you are an unbeliever, I will trouble you in a very good way. I pray that the Holy Spirit will stir your heart and trouble you in a good way. May God's mighty Holy Spirit speak to your heart, cause you to see that you are living in sin and that you are lost and heading for eternal hell as Herod did. But listen to the Christmas message. It says, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ came to make peace between God and man, and he wants you to have that peace. He wants you to be able to make peace with the one true living God. And you will be able to make peace with the one true living God by coming to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Our hearts need not be fearful because of Christmas. The babe born in the city of Bethlehem, as we said, came to give peace. Yes, first he came to make peace between God and man, And he left behind this peace to all those who trust in him as Lord and Savior. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Commit our lives unto the Lord. And throne the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart. And we will have the peace that he wants us to have. And then remember, none of us live unto ourselves, none of us die to ourselves. When we are troubled, we trouble other people. By the grace of God, let us live lives that will not trouble other people. And the only way that we may live lives that will not trouble other people is to have the Lord Jesus Christ rule in our hearts. When he rules in our hearts, we will not trouble other people. Instead, we will be great blessings to others. And finally, let us be sure we know where we are going after we pass away from this earth. Let the message of Christmas be very, very meaningful to us. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ came to make peace between us and the one true living God. If we trust in him, we know exactly where we will be going after we pass away from this earth. We know that we'll be heading straight into the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I trust, my dear friends, that this Christmas you will not hold back any longer if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, but come and believe in him and trust him as Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came and died for us on the cross of Calvary. He didn't just come to remain a babe in the city of Bethlehem, but we thank you that he came to live among men so that 33 years later he could go to the cross of Calvary to die for us as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. We thank you that when he died, when he rose up from the dead and he ascended up to heaven, he left behind his peace, and we are able to have that peace if we have the Lord Jesus Christ ruling in our hearts today. We pray, O Lord God, for all those here who still do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and do not have the Lord Jesus Christ ruling in their hearts, that you will be very, very gracious to them, speak to them and cause them to come to believe in him. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.